This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
6:09 on this Tuesday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106, part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield and by the McAdams Millwright Service. Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures yesterday, Monday, to start off this first full week of May, had corn mixed, soybeans lower in the old crop, higher in the new crop, and wheat 16 to 17 cents lower on Monday. First off, your corn futures exploded in the overnight session into Monday morning, but only managed to finish mixed. May futures breached 750 with a high of 758 before closing 7¾ cents lower yesterday, Monday, to 732. July futures were 6¼ cents higher, however, to 679.5. December new crop down 0.75 cents to 563. It appeared buying interest dried up by mid-morning as wheat prices came under selling pressure, finishing with double-digit losses. A bearish feeling in the market was noted in soybeans and corn as old crop contracts lost large overnight premiums. Export inspections at 84.2 million bushel were termed supportive. There's been much talk as of late that their inspections will not be able to reach export sales, and it's not sure that many agree with that assessment. Monday's total inspection number places the year-to-date total at 1.70 billion bushel. That's about 64% of the total expected for export sales. Inspections would need to average nearly 60 million bushels a week, and that appears doable. Pressuring prices may have been expectations of a strong planting progress over last week, as most of the Midwest was warm and dry. In addition, the next 6 to 10 days weather forecast for the entire Midwest is calling for above average precip and below normal temperature. Therefore, the recent hot and dry experience temperatures could be ending, or at least taking a pause for the time being. Your soybean futures finished the session mixed after strong overnight gains, just like corn. Like the corn market, the old crop contracts gave up significant premiums as bears were noted late in the session. May futures closed 10¾ cents lower to 15.60¼ after reaching an overnight high of $16. November new crop, however, gained 5 cents to 13.44¾. Export inspections, while positive, were still termed disappointing at 5.3 million bushel. Total inspections are now 2.031 billion bushel, or 89.1% of the yearly expected sales of 2.28 billion bushel. Expectations for strong planting progress may have also weighed on futures, as did wheat prices. After trading sharply higher, they also finished with double-digit losses. Since mid-April, May bean futures have rallied $1.30, but to give up 40 cents on Monday from their highs is a disappointment for the bullish traders, yet one cannot argue with the overall trend that remains higher. It could very well be, however, that prices may have found their peak, but keep in mind that recent increases to margin requirements, along with an increase to the daily range from 70 cents to a dollar, may have traders more reluctant to enter the market. And finally, moving on into your wheat highlights from Monday, May Chicago wheat lost 17 cents to 725.5. July Chicago wheat was down by 16¾ to 718. May Kansas City down 15¾ to 682.5, while Kansas City July wheat closed down 15 to 788.5. Wheat was similar to corn and beans and was up strong in the overnight trade before Monday morning. However, most of us never saw it trade in the green on Monday. Eastern Colorado and Kansas were expected to get a chance of a rain-snow mix on Monday, and there is some more forecasts for minimal rain throughout this week. There is a minimal chance that the hard red wheat crop could see some rain this week, but not enough to get your hopes up. Spring wheat areas, moderate rains are predicted for parts of Montana this week. However, where moisture is desperately needed in the Dakotas, there is still no rain in the forecast. The European Union crop needs more moisture as well, but crop conditions are still relatively good there. Monday was a tough day, technically speaking. To put in a new contract now and trade so hard off of it isn't a good sign, but this happened last week as well, and wheat fought through it. Not much has changed from a fundamental standpoint, however. U.S. wheat remains in jeopardy due to drought, and that same drought poses a threat to the entire corn and soybean season ahead as well. The crop report says winter wheat conditions are 48% good to excellent. That's 1 point less than last week and down 5 points in the last 2 weeks. So recapping your mixed but mostly lower grain futures from yesterday Monday off the Board of Trade. May corn in the old crop down by 7 3/4, 7.32 1/4. July corn gained 6 1/4, 6.79 1/2, while December new crop down 0.75 cents to 5.63. May beans in the old crop down 10 3/4 to 15.60 1/4. November new crop beans up 5, 13.44 3/4. May wheat in the old crop down 17 to 7.25 1/2. July wheat in the new crop up 16 at 7.18. May oats down 1 3/4, 3.99 1/4. July oats up 1 3/4, 4.07 1/2. May soybean meal down 9.80 to 4.16.20. July bean meal down $11, 4.15.10. May soybean oil down 15 cents at 68.31, while July gained 67 cents in the soybean oil to 63.06. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Monday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Monday afternoon. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted chalk corn bids mostly 6 to 14 cents higher, 668 to 750. Soybean bids were mixed at 1497 to 1566. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted chalk corn bids 4 to 6 cents higher, at 670 to 713. Soybean bids were mostly 9 to 10 cents lower at 1515 to 1568. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 6 to 13 cents higher, 695 to 766. Soybean bids are down 6 to 15 cents at 1549 to 1589. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were down 12 to 18 cents, 1566 to 1594. Basis was down 2 to 8 at 42 over to 70 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 6 to 14 cents higher, 690 to 743, but basis steady to up 13 at 10 over to 63 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to produce corn bids sharply lower, 686 to 743, with basis at 6 over to 63 over the July. Soybean scented down 7 to 12 cents, 1564 to 1569, with basis at 40 over to 45 over the July. New crop wheat prices were 7 to 18 cents lower at 688 to 697. East St. Louis barge loading thermometer placer produced corn bids down 10 cents at 746 to 758. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 13 to 19 cents. Quotations of 1580 to 1586. Soft wheat closed down 7 cents at 747 to 748. Milo ended the day sharply lower at 729 to 730. Contract bids producers for October, November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 528 to 547. Soybeans at $13 to 1328. In the central part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at 533 to 555. Soybeans at 1315 to 1334. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at 534 to 585. Soybeans at 1310 to 1369. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on now to your livestock numbers from yesterday, Monday, off the Mercantile Exchange. Your cattle were mostly mixed to lower and hogs higher again on Monday. First off, your cattle futures were mixed to start off the week as selling pressure stayed in the front month of the cattle market. June fat cattle dropped $1.27 to $115.30. August cattle were 27 cents lower to 118.35. The deferred contracts after August saw some mild buying strength in a bear spread market. Technically, the June contract is weak, closing the month of April with a negative reversal, and with cattle supply being heavy, may have had a difficult time getting a bid despite the stronger demand. Cattle trade finished lower last week and no trade was developed again on Monday. Cash trade will likely hold off until Wednesday or later again this week with expectations of steady to lower prices. Total cattle slaughter last week was 649,000 head, down slightly from 2 weeks ago strong totals. Carcass weights ticked up to 530 pounds and weekly production was 550.2 million, in line with last week. Those numbers, even with the strong demand, has the market feeling that the production is there to meet the demand. Beef retail carcasses are pricing in the spring holidays, Mother's Day and Memorial Day, helping push retail carcass values higher. Choice carcasses gained an additional $1.91 to $298.41 and selects 96 cents higher, $284.01. The load count at midday was a light 36 loads traded. The market is concerned that retail values may be looking to peak soon as the market moves past the spring rush. Regardless, packer margins are strong, and that could hopefully give a boost to the cash trade, but that large supply limits the optimism. Feeder cattle were mixed as well on Monday to start off the week, as May contracts dropped 55 cents to 133.05. August climbed to finish slightly higher, gaining a nickel to 146.80. A choppy grain market and strength in the deferred live cattle contracts helped support feeders. The cattle market is still extremely oversold, but needs a trigger to get money flowing into the market. Lean hogs stayed strong as well, and with the lean hog to live cattle ratio ending the day at $1.02 to 1 is reflecting the two different markets. Cattle is undervalued, but the supply numbers will keep the market upside limited. Moving on, your hog futures finished strongly again Monday, following through from Friday. May hogs gained 57 cents to 110.70. But June hogs were a strong $2.92 higher, and July gained $2.82, which is at $112.07. Those months and deferred contracts closed with new contract highs. Prices gapped open and worked higher on strong technical moves, opening the door to further upside yesterday. The cash market remained strong, helping support the futures market. The lean hog index traded unchanged at 106.89, shaking off 2 days of weakness from last week. The index has traded higher for the 13 consecutive weeks and looks to hold that trend. The demand market for pork stays very supportive. China's ongoing battle with African swine fever has kept the demand optimism well into the second half of this year, and the strong production movement has bolstered pork product prices. Midday pork carcass values gained $1.83 yesterday to $112.29 as all six pork cuts traded higher again Monday. Moderate movement was seen at 146 loads traded. Total hog slaughter last week with Saturday kill was estimated at 2.454 million head, now 19,000 head from 2 weeks ago. The lower slaughter total should help support cash market bids to start this off this week. The hog market remains strong, closing at a new high. The monthly technical chart looks very strong with last week's close, and the fundamental support as well, as long as the hog market is still looking for the high. So to recap your mixed livestock futures from the Mercantile Exchange on Monday, June live cattle were down $1.27 to $115.30. August live cattle down 27 cents at $118.35. October live cattle gained 5 cents to $122.95. May feeders down 55 cents at $133.05. August feeders gained 5 cents, $146.80. September feeders down 10 cents, $149.17. May hogs gained 57 cents at $110.70. June hogs up $2.92 at $112.65. July up $2.82 at $112.07. August up $1.92 at $107.42. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 82 cents lower in a range of $103.95 to $125, with the weighted average carcass price of $111.67. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were weak, with moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $54 to $57, 4 to 5 weight at $56 to $59, 5 to 6 weight at $58 to $62, and over 600 pounds at $59 to $64. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gilts at the country buying points were steady, with good demand for heavy offerings, ranging from $69 to $70. Packer receipts for barrows and gilts totaled 17,828. in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report. Steers on a live basis traded at 122. Heifers on a live basis traded at 119. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 288 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $111.66, which was $1.20 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $299.30, which was $2.80 higher. Select carcasses at $283.79, which was 74 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000 compared to 117,000 last week and 78,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 483,000 compared to 483,000 last week and 280,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for Part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by the McAdams Millwright Service and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Radar shows showers at this point pretty much south of Route 16, moving slowly to the northeast. 58 degrees under cloudy, rainy skies at the Weather Center. Rain totals from around the area overnight. Gary Brown of Chesterfield, 2/10 of an inch of rain. A half inch recorded by Chris Cook of Greenville, and 1/10 of an inch here at the Weather Center. Once again, cloudy, rainy skies, 58 degrees on this Tuesday morning. Part 2 of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here in Ag News for a Tuesday. Midwestern lawmakers continue to push for inclusion of more biofuel vehicles in the president's climate effort to convert the nation's transportation fleet to electric. Freshman Kansas Republican Roger Marshall is the latest Midwestern lawmaker to join the biofuel push as the administration ramps up its electric car effort and the Senate moves a carbon credit bill.
I'm convinced that the carbon footprint of a renewable diesel or biodiesel driven cars, tractors, those have a lower carbon output from start to finish. When you look through the whole cycle of making everything that goes in that car or truck to the tailpipe emission to the final disposal of that they'll have a lower carbon footprint than electric cars.
Jewel Brana agreed during her recent Senate confirmation hearing to be Deputy USDA Secretary that biofuels are critical to helping meet climate change goals, pointing to their many uses.
Sustainable jet fuel in the fleet of vehicles. I'm at USDA and our sister agencies, and really promote renewable fuels production and infrastructure development so we can expand the use of biofuels and more people can purchase biofuel.
Many lawmakers from biofuel states have stressed to the administration the need for more biofuel and hybrid vehicles, biofuel funding, and E15 pumps. Brana and Ag Secretary Vilsack will likely come under more pressure to help as the climate push takes off. In other national news here on a Tuesday, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty last week filed a lawsuit in federal court challenging the alleged race discrimination in the American Rescue Plan. Specifically, the organization targets a provision to offer loan forgiveness based on racial categories. The organization filed a lawsuit Thursday of last week on behalf of five plaintiffs from Wisconsin, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Ohio. The American Rescue Plan Act provides billions of dollars of debt relief to socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers, but the law's definition of socially disadvantaged includes explicit racial classifications. Farmers and ranchers must be Black or African American, American Indian or Alaskan Native, Hispanic or Latino, or Asian American or Pacific Islander. Other farmers are ineligible for the programs, according to the plaintiff. The lawsuit alleges discrimination, calling the program illegal and unconstitutional. The lawsuit asks the court to issue an injunction and a declaratory judgment that the racial classifications in the Farmer Loan Forgiveness Program are unconstitutional. The Food and Agricultural Climate Alliance, or FACA, delivered recommendations Monday to the Department of Agriculture regarding a potential carbon bank. More than 70 members of the alliance, including the American Farm Bureau, says USDA should first develop a series of pilot projects. The focus areas include scaling climate solutions to help increase adoption of climate-smart practices, removing barriers to adoption, improving carbon account standards, and ensuring equitable opportunity. The alliance says information gained from the pilots will serve two critical purposes. First, it will help the USDA build a durable foundation for a carbon bank that earns long-term bipartisan congressional support. Second, it will help USDA build confidence in how to verify the climate's benefits delivered by specific practices and management approaches. Read FACA's full carbon bank recommendations and see a full list of member organizations online at agclimatealliance.com. And building upon a successful first season, the Bayer Carbon Program will again offer growers an opportunity to generate revenue from an unexpected crop, carbon. This year's program offers growers even more opportunities to participate, along with new states eligible for the program. Lisa Streck, Carbon Grower Program Lead at Bayer Crop Science, shares more.
Now in our second year, the Bayer Carbon Program is a program that helps farmers get paid for implementing climate-smart farming practices such as no-till, strip-till, and cover crops. Our goal of the program is to reward farmers not only for what they produce, but how they produce it. Beyond generating additional revenue through implementing climate-smart practices, growers who participate in our program will also experience important benefits like improved soil health that will benefit farmers in the long run.
Streck explains how the Bayer Carbon Program is different from other options available to growers.
Bayer's Carbon Program offers simplicity, flexibility, and certainty for growers. Growers simply choose the climate smart practices they wish to enroll in, and Bayer does the rest. It's easy for farmers to enroll, and it's easy for them to calculate their revenue because we pay growers on a per acre basis, which is how growers are used to calculating their ROI. Growers are paid at a flat rate per acre, not by the amount of carbon sequestered, and that provides simplicity and payment certainty for farmers. Our program also gives growers the flexibility to choose which fields they want to enroll and which practices they want to adopt.
And this year, the program has expanded to 17 states.
Some exciting additions to this year's program include a significant increase in the number of states where growers are eligible to participate from. So we've nearly doubled our geography, where our program has now expanded eligibility to 17 states across the corn and soy belt. In addition to the 9 states that we had participate in last year's program, we've added eligibility to the following states: Wisconsin, South Dakota, Nebraska, Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Maryland, and Delaware.
She says farmers can learn more about the Bayer Carbon Program online.
Farmers interested in learning more details about the program can contact their local Bayer representative or visit our website at bayercarbon.com. Enrollment is open and live, so we encourage growers to go to our website to learn more.
Again, visit bayercarbon.com to learn more. Moving on now into Illinois State Ag News, we have your latest crop progress and condition report from last week. And with the report, we join Steve Parn with the National Ag Statistics Service in Springfield.
There was an average of 4.4 days suitable for field work last week. Temperatures averaged 62.8 degrees, which was 6.1 degrees above normal. Weekly rainfall totals averaged 1.03 inches across the state, which was 0.09 inches above normal. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 2% very short, 17% short, 69% adequate, and 12% surplus. Corn planted reached 54% compared to the 53% last year and the five-year average of 49%. Corn emerged reached 14% compared to 8% last year and the five-year average of 13%. Soybeans planted reached 41% compared to 29% last year and the five-year average of 14%. Soybeans emerged reached 7% compared to the 2% last year and the five-year average of 1%. Winter wheat headed reached 21% compared to 18% last year and the five-year average of 28%. Winter wheat conditions were rated 3% very poor, 3% poor, 26% fair, 56% good, and 12% excellent. Pasture conditions were rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 17% fair, 58% good, and 21% excellent. This has been Steve Parn with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Moving on into other Illinois state ag news on your Tuesday, Illinois Democrat Sherry Bustos announced she will not seek re-election after completing her current term in the House of Representatives. In a video posted to Twitter, Bustos says, quote, "I feel it's time for a new voice." Bustos represents Illinois' 17th district, largely a rural district, and has served on the House Ag Committee since first being elected back in 2013. This Congress, Bustos chairs the Subcommittee on General Farm Commodities and Risk Management. The subcommittee has jurisdiction over policies, statutes, and markets relating to commodities like corn, beans, and wheat. It also oversees the Commodity Credit Corporation and crop insurance programs. Congresswoman Bustos also serves as a member of the Subcommittee on Commodity Exchange, Energy, and Credit. Bustos made the announcement on Friday of last week. The Illinois Dim County Chairs Association thanks Bustos for her service, adding her commitment to her district is unparalleled, particularly to the hardworking middle class and rural communities of Illinois. Trend yields for both corn and beans here in Illinois have been increasing at a greater than expected pace across the state since the drought of 2012. University of Illinois Extension agricultural economist Gary Schnittke says the period of good yields may come to an end, but that it will depend on the weather and genetics. But for now, yields are better than average.
We have seen exceptional yields in Illinois since 2012, and that has resulted in our trend yields being going up, and we're expecting for 2021 a trend yield for corn of 195.9 bushels and 60.3 bushels for soybeans.
Schnittke says it is reasonable to obtain the trend line yield levels for 2021, which again are 60.3 bushels per acre for beans and 195.9 bushels an acre for corn here in Illinois. And another state ag news, the state's ag pest survey coordinator is ready for bug season.
We have traps out across the state monitoring our some of our field crop pests. Most notably in the spring, we focus on black cutworm and true armyworm. And it's been kind of a slow start here as we started back in April, and temperatures back and forth have kept things pretty slow. But both of those pests are migratory, so we are going to have them come up on warm southerly winds, and that generally picks up as we get into May. So we expect things to pick up even more, flights to increase, and traps to pick up higher numbers of those pests. But we are catching both species around the state. Black cutworm, we're focusing mainly on pinpointing when a significant flight happens in an area, and that's 8 or more moths caught over 2 nights. And currently, we've only done that once here so far here in 2021, and that's over in Pike County. They caught their first significant flight this last week, and using some degree day predictions, the projected potential cutting date over in that Pike County area would be about May 25th or so, give or take some days. And we'll continue to monitor and push out information as we get more of those coming in. And then, of course, true armyworm has been pretty slow, but we'll watch when those flights pick up, and that's particularly important for our wheat growers and looking at when larvae may be present and feeding in those fields here this spring.
And that's Kelly Estes, the State Ag Pest Survey Coordinator. She also has an active blog, and you can find it by searching Illinois Cooperative Agricultural Pest Survey Program. She also updates information through her social media presence on Twitter. Her handle there is at ILPestSurvey. In news from the Illinois pork producers, pig farmers in Illinois have the opportunity to take part in a tree buffer cost share program. The Illinois Pork Producers Association is offering this incentive for farmers to implement fresh landscaping on their pig farms. Pig farmers from across the state have already utilized this program in past years. A buffer is an area of trees that is strategically placed to provide a windbreak, recycle clean air, and provide curb appeal to a landscape. This cost-share program is offered to Illinois pig farmers on a first-come, first-served basis. Funding will aid with the purchase of trees and shrubs, as well as design and tree placement. The Pork Producers Association will match up to $2,500 of the cost. Ted Funk, an environmental engineer for the Illinois Pork Producers, funded in part by the Soybean Association's checkoff program, provides his talents of research and planning to benefit the farmer. A local extension educator may also be playing a role by suggesting the best types of trees for the desired location. This group effort is designed to ensure the farmer has all the right tools they need to create a useful tree buffer. Farmers who are interested in the program may download the application online at ilpork.com and return it to the Illinois Pork Producers by June 15. There you can also find an interactive map of farms across the state that have previously utilized the grant program and have pictures of their progress. And moving on now into local ag news for your Tuesday, the American Farm Heritage Museum in Greenville will be holding their Spring Fling Festival this weekend at the museum grounds south of Greenville. Again, that'll be held this coming Saturday from 8 till 4, rain or shine. There's free general admission, a flea market and swap meet, along with a barbecue competition. More information for the Spring Fling Festival at the American Farm Heritage Museum in Greenville can be found on Facebook and online at AmericanFarmHeritageMuseum.com. And one last note here on your Tuesday. The month of May is National Beef Month. And here at WSMI, we're going to celebrate as well, along with the Mid-Illinois Livestock Producers. And they'll be providing 4 gift certificates to Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro to celebrate Beef Month. And here at WSMI, we'll choose 4 lucky winners this month, each Friday of the month, as we have 4 Fridays here in May. So continue listening this week and the rest of the month to the morning and the afternoon farm shows for your chance to win every Friday of the month a $25 gift certificate to Paris Frozen Foods in celebration of National Beef Month across the country. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here on this Tuesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for your Tuesday morning, May 4th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.